You are listening to KGNU Community Radio. I am your host and producer, Rosanna Longo-Better. On this summer afternoon, at Light Root Farm and Learning Center, young people, families, and volunteers move among plants, farm animals, and open fields. Farm Family Day is part of a partnership among Natural Highs, Light Root Farm, and the City of Boulder's Open Space and Mountain Park Department. Since a pilot began in 2023, the collaboration has used a working farm on city open space to help young people connect with nature, trusted adults, and one another while exploring healthy alternatives to substance use. I went to the farm to hear how that idea works in practice. So I am here at a farm in Boulder, and there's a lot of activities going to happen this afternoon, and it's part of a group effort in order to provide experience for young people. If you can please give me your name and then describe what's going to happen today.
So my name is Chris Weinberger, and I'm part of Open Space Mountain Parks. I'm a program manager in the Volunteerism and Service Learning team. And this is an agricultural lease program for the City of Boulder Open Space, Mountain Parks. And we developed this program with Natural Highs and with Light Root Community Farm.
Casey Brook is an Open Space on Mountain Parks volunteer crew lead who helps connect open space with the community.
Part of my job is helping facilitate volunteer projects, so any interaction between open space and the community. And today, we're at a very special collaboration between Light Root Community Farms and Natural Highs, where kids in the Natural Highs program get to come out to the farm every week, basically, and they get to work in the herb garden, they get to hang out with the animals, and they get to spend time in the dirt drinking yerba mate. It's pretty
Farm
fun.
Farm Family Day also welcome people discovering the program for the first time. Patricia recently moved from Boston and found the activity online.
So this is my first time here, actually. I wanted to be more involved with the community in Boulder. So I saw it online, and, you know, I'm from Boston, so I haven't really been in touch with my farm side, if that makes sense. I love animals. Like, I've loved animals since a young age, and I thought this was a really good opportunity to meet new people and, like, also just learn a couple of new things as well.
What caught your eye when you read about it?
I liked the part where it said that we would learn about, you know, like, holistic medicine and different, like, herbal therapies. I have a biology background, so I want to have the most like breadth as possible when it comes to medicine, and I think it'd be a really interesting insight to learn, you know, medicinal practices in more rural areas.
The connection Patricia describes is intentional. In focus groups cited by the City of Boulder, young people ask for safe experiences on local lands, places where they could connect with their bodies, with nature, and with other people without substances being part of the social experience. For Chris, the value begins with something many of us rarely stop to consider, where our food comes from. Why do you think that will make a difference?
I think that people, whether you're adult or you're a teenager, they can get really disconnected from a food source, and this will bring them back to it. Also, this is considered a regenerative space. It's a regenerative, organic, sustainable farm. So after they're here for a couple hours, everyone talks about how they feel different. They feel less stressed. They feel more joy, and they feel a certain sense in their bodies. And it's because they've been working with the soil, they've been working with plants, they've been even holding piglets and feeding baby calves. And so I really think the more that we're connected to our food source and spaces like this that are so healthy for us, and it really brings us back to how we used to be more connected to these spaces. So I think it's very innovative in that approach. However, this is an old way of farming, so it's really looking back to how used to be farmed.
Yeah, the whole family.
Yeah.
It was a family effort, you know, everybody harvest, and then everybody cook, and it's just this sense of
of collectivism.
Chris says that connection matters, especially when young people and their families are living with stress.
Why is mental health, especially for our youth, so crucial?
Oh, I think that the more we pay attention to kids, the better their lives are. And if you're stressed as a parent, they're even more stressed. So I grew up on a farm similar kind of to this in the Midwest, and I remember I constantly went out. We had access to 250 acres of land, and I was always either on a horse or walking my dogs in the woods, and I was constantly reprogramming my nervous system through nature. And I think that's really what we're trying to do, is we're trying to expose teens and younger generations and then have this family connection where we're able to truly do that again and give them the access and the knowledge that this is something they can continue to do. They can reach for nature versus reaching for a substance, and really reach for each other in a family situation if there's a lot of stress.
That idea, giving young people healthy ways to respond to stress, is at the center of Natural Highs.
I'm Sloan. I came here firstly because my mom works here. Mm-hmm. And it's just awesome. I've been going here for a long time, summer camps and all that. And also, I came here because I just love being here. I just love all the animals and the plants, and I just love everything.
By now, participants of different ages have gathered in a circle. They are laughing, meeting one another, and preparing to share yerba mate. Sitting among them is Avani Delgar, founder and executive director of Natural Highs.
So, Natural Highs is a nonprofit, and we've been working in this community for the last 25 years because there's so many breakthroughs now around mental health, around understanding trauma, around understanding that there's healthy alternatives to substance use that a lot of people don't know about. And so we want to make this available to everybody. We want to make sure that everybody, regardless of money, has access to these cutting edge things. And so that's what we do. And we do lots and lots of different programs, usually for young people, for parents, for really everybody in the community. And it's been literally a dream for us for the last 10 years that we would be able to teach young people how to grow their own herbs, their own medicine for mental health, or as healthy alternatives to substances. And you will not believe it, our dream came true. What, like 3-4 years ago, our dream came true, and you connected us with Lightroot Farm. And I still have to pinch myself and can't believe it, that this is actually happening. One of the things we work with in Natural Highs that you see behind Cameron is a very, very, very special ritual that comes from South America called sharing yerba mate.
Chris says the partnership took shape near the end of the pandemic when she was looking for ways to reconnect volunteers with farms and open space.
And this is an agricultural lease program. So the city of Boulder owns this land, and then the farmer is on here leasing the land, just like similarly to renting a home, if you can think of it that way. And this program, it really provides access because land is so expensive in Boulder Valley, right? In Boulder County alone, this farm would go for maybe, what, $8 to $10 million? So when I think of this program, I think of access, and it does keep preservation of agriculture on open space. And then open space also gets the benefits from the farmer that's on the land.
That farmer is Cameron Genter, co-founder and executive director of Lightroot Farm and Learning Center. He and co-founder Daphne Kinsley have farmed the city-owned land for 8 years.
Cameron, I'm one of the farmers here. We actually live in the house. Just to piggyback on what you said, we've farmed in California, and Maine, and New York, Vermont, Wisconsin, and you know, it's always a question of how does a farmer get land, farm? If your family had it, maybe it was passed down, but that's not that common anymore. And even then, sometimes the pressure is for the family to sell it. So a lot of farmers are always trying to figure out, well, how do we get on land? How do we rent to farm? Because you need land to do your farm, but you don't make enough money to ever buy the land, you know? So that's where this particular program comes in with open space. When we moved here, I didn't know how we were ever gonna figure out how to farm here, you know? So the open space program was the way, because it's affordable rent, it's good land, it's good ag land, so they kept it. The City of Boulder Open Space kept it in ag for 40 or 50 years now. So, I mean, it could be estate farms with maybe a couple horses or mansions or something, but instead it's an ag. So we kind of blessed to have that opportunity to be here, because we wouldn't be able to do it. So thanks, Chris. And Natasha and everybody else is kind of, and taxpayers, right? We all support this. It's a very unique program. You know, I tell other farmers about it and they're like, what? How does that work? You know, and it actually works really well. So anyway, this particular farm, we've been here for on 8 years leasing, 65 acres, basically right around here where the power lines and the roads, and we raw milk dairy farm. That's one of our things we do. So we sell raw milk. We have chickens for eggs, as you can see out there in that little house. They move around the pastures. We have little pigs we raise, cooney pigs. We have gardens, which I'll talk about medicinal herbs in a minute, but we do vegetables. And one unique thing about us is we don't have a tractor on the farm. We use horses, pull the farm machinery, and a donkey, actually a large donkey, and even some cows called oxen that will pull some machinery through the field. So we're unique in that we do that. We're not Amish, by the way, so people are wondering why we do it, but a draft animal power is very, obviously, really true green power, if you really want to talk about regenerative. We talk about it, but they don't rely on anything. They're solar powered, those horses. It's grass, hay, and sun. And we could go on endlessly, and I actually breed them and we have babies. So this cycle would forever keep going. We also have a skid loader, so I do use some machinery. I'm not anti-machinery at all. Kind of a hybrid farm, so in that way. And we have human power, of course. So in our farm, I think Chris talked about a little bit, I think what makes us a little bit unique here too is that we are so diverse, you know.
Cameron says the farm's first priority is caring for its soil.
Our main focus is soil, building soil. And Chris talked about a little bit with the climate, but you know, keeping the soil covered, keeping organic matter in the soil, taking it out of the air even. If you build the grasses, especially grasses, but the alfalfa and all the plants, it keeps it covered and it's building organic matter. So that's our number one priority here on the farm. And we do that through our grazing, through animal manure and compost, and we don't use any chemicals, so no fertilizers at all. So the soil life is rich and alive and partying here. All we really focus on is the soil, and it pretty much will take care of all the plants if you have a nice soil. So we do that, but we do have a diversity of plants, from these trees to, like I said, all the diverse pasture grasses and alfalfa and vegetables and herbs. We grow seed, so we grow some seed plants. We actually save the seed, which is also an important thing in our world where the seed is getting consolidated in a fewer hands, and so farmers are dependent upon buying from just a few companies, you know. So we want to grow our own seed out. We support local seed growers, so, and vegetables as well, corn, potatoes, beans, broccoli, a mix of everything, and diversity of plants. And then we also have animals. And so one thing you'll feel here is that the animals, we put a lot of devotion into our animal care. It's pretty important. You can have a weedy garden and it's okay. But you have animals that are living in poop and not outside on grass. It's a heavy feeling. So we really owe it to them. They produce a lot for us. Milk, of course, and all the milk products. Meat, if you want it, they donate, you know, they give their life for that. So we kind of feel like our role as farmer is to lift the animals up and give them their best life. We really pride ourselves in that and do what it takes, you know. Christmas morning, we're out with the animals. Kids, you can wait on the presents. It's always the animals. It is, and they give it back to you, you know, so it's that gratitude. And so the animal energy here is really high, and they're all very friendly. And like I said, they live their best life. So there's a human element, I say, too. As the farmers ourselves, we have our own responsibility to, we set these fences up, and we bring all this life in, animals and plants and soil, you know, care. Need to really also look at ourselves as humans, and we take that seriously.
Cameron says the farm's community mission is to help people of all ages reconnect with nature, agriculture, and one another. In the garden, participants begin gathering plants like chamomile and lavender. Among them is a skateboarder, Blake Wagner.
There's such a good community, I think, with Natural Highs and with Lightroot Farm, and just, you know, to see everyone out here, to, you know, just like love the animals and, you know, hang out on the farm and everything. And it's really interesting for me because with skateboarding too, there's this really big focus on like community and like, you know, you have a skateboard, you see someone else with a skateboard, you can immediately become friends because of it and about it. And like you kind of have something to relate about and like kind of connect with. And it was just like really interesting to kind of see like these two you know, different like spaces where community is a really big focus, kind of like overlapping, and how that community like bleeds into one another. And then like, I feel like it might not be probably good to like name drop, but I just was talking to someone who knew the girl I was talking to earlier today, and just I'm like, well, this community is like bigger than the skate community. It's bigger than the Natural Highs Light Root Farm community. It's everyone, even if you don't necessarily like, you know, like you don't have to fit exactly into one of them and like, you know, get like all clicky about community to be in a community. You can, there's so much like overlap between communities, and just like, you know, it's just so much like connection and everyone, you know, being there for each other and like supporting each other. And just like, it just is really interesting to see how all these communities in, you know, the Boulder area like overlap with one another. And, you know, and people I'm talking to here who are in, you know, the music communities and scenes that I'm in, and just like, it just, there's all these different communities and they're all interconnected into one big giant, you know, community of just people and humans. And it's just, it's so cool to like make all those connections.
And why do you think these kind of connections are urgent right now, in a moment when, you know, we're talking about a dry out, climate change, a lot of programs who have been supportive of our communities are disappearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, community like is important more than ever right now, not only in the digital age where people are more connected, which really just means I'm looking at my screen all day and texting people I've never met and never will meet, right? It's not the face-to-face kind of connection that we get like coming and picking herbs together and going to, you know, the skate park together and everything. And just, you know, like those kinds of connections and communities are how people were even able to survive on the earth in the first place. It's just, you know, like they couldn't, humanity never would have been able to survive and become what it is if we didn't have communities. And then we like went too far to the other side of the pendulum, to the point where now we're trying to destroy those communities because we got so advanced and, you know, have all this technology and whatever, capitalism. But like, you know, if we go back to those communities, like that's how people survive. You can't survive without human connection, and you can always find like human connection within communities. So
nearby, Lucy is picking flowers from the herbs.
My name's Lucy, and we're at this farm right now, and I'm picking flowers right now to like from some of the herbs, and that's what most of us are doing. But I don't know. I also really like the farm. It's really fun. I've only been here like twice or three times, but like I don't know. Each time I come, like I've wanted to come back, and like it is really fun. And like also like what everyone else has been saying about like a sense of community. Like I've been trying to like find like more friends and stuff. And so like it's like cool to like go to more places and like actually go out and do stuff. And also I love animals, so it's so nice to see the animals. They're so cute.
Why would you say to a friend of yours that this is healing? That this kind of you know, coming together with other people, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, but just being in nature, why is it so necessary right now for us?
I agree with what Blake said about like, since like there's all like the technology stuff and then like also like climate change and like all of that, like it's just good to like be like in a farm. And it's like good to be in a farm and just like actually like picking like plants and stuff. And I've been trying to do that in like my own life too. Like I've been like trying to like, I've been trying to make a garden and like all that stuff. And like even like me and my mom, like we're gonna start like a compost bucket. And so like I've just been like, especially with like all like the data centers being built and stuff, like it's just like, I don't even know, like it's just really nice to be like at a farm, like in nature, that like isn't gonna get like just some like data center built over it. So
for Ingrid Castro Campos, the Family Day also creates a bridge between generations.
I am super inspired, and I've been waiting for the family days because I love to see different generations coming together and recovering our most primitive, basic, natural state, which we can only accomplish when we are together in community and in nature. So thank you for the opportunity.
Beth Zaro is Light Roots Development and Events Specialist. Her children have attended summer camp here for almost 7 years.
I've worked with Cameron and Daphne for about a year now. My kids have been coming to summer camp here for, my oldest is 13, I think he was 6, so almost 7 years. My kids have always loved the farm, and it's been their favorite summer camp. And until they posted my position, I didn't know it was a nonprofit. And so I was like, this is really important to get the story out that Light Root Farm is a nonprofit, and donations and grants and money from other people is what helps make all of these programs, the kids programs, the teen programs, the adult programs happen, right? So yeah, I felt like it was my job to help spread the word and help them on the backside with the administrative piece so that they can be out on the farm with the animals and the people. And it's been an amazing experience. Like, I couldn't ask for a better job. I feel so lucky. It almost doesn't feel like a job.
Near the Kunikuni Peaks, I met Cannon, who's about to begin eighth grade.
I'm Cannon. I'm going into eighth grade. And we're here with the Kunikuni pigs. They're a New Zealand breed bred to be friendly pigs. A lot of people have them as pets. They're really friendly. They're like little dogs.
You notice a difference in you?
I do. I think it's that seeing them, it's just like you stop worrying about other things that you would worry about. You just think about the pigs or whatever animal you're with. You kind of escape the reality, escape, oh, I have to go do homework. You just think about something else.
And you can relax and connect with them.
Yeah.
Do they have names? Have you named them?
Some of them do. Like during summer camp, some of the people name the pigs. There's Potato and Oreo. I don't know which ones those are, but during come out to Light Root Farm, you're going to have the time of your life, and you just can escape reality here.
Cameron's experience brings us back to what Cameron believes farming asks of us: attention, responsibility, and care.
So that means, in a way, we always like to say a farmer is kind of a meditator, because you have to take stock of what's going on in yourself, to be able to see the farm and see the animals, and then to put it all together like a conductor in an orchestra or a symphony, right? So how do the plants go and the animals go, and then the soil, and then the people, and then we're always moving things. You'll notice everything's always moving here, so nothing is set. The chickens are all over the place, you know, and the cows are all over the place moving around. So there's a lot of dynamic going on with that. We have a lot of responsibility as a farmer to work on ourselves as well, so we can steward this, you know, in the right way. And here we are in Boulder, and this is kind of why we're here tonight, right? We're an urban farm, ultimately, and there's a lot of people that want to reconnect to nature, to agriculture. And so a huge part of our mission, and I'd say that's probably our main mission now, is to educate and bring people onto the farm to connect them through a variety of therapeutic programs, a lot of teen programs, summer camps with kids from 6 to 14, senior groups come out. So it's really the farm kind of has something for everybody, and so we kind of feel like it's part of our mission to create that opportunity for people to come and learn and really just find some peace and like settle the nervous system and take a breath and, you know, from the sort of busy life. You know, I know farmers are busy too, but not when you guys are here. We take a break. What we're doing here, which brings us to Natural Highs and this particular teen group, this is a family day, so we kind of welcome more of the community. Last week we had our regular teen group and there was a lot of 25 kids here, a little smaller group tonight. We're just going to share what we do with the kids, basically. Besides the yerba mate, there are other herbs that are good for anxiety, depression, just calmness, settle your nervous system in the busy world. We got milky oats and tulsi, holy basil, chamomile, catnip, lemon balm, skullcap, nettle, lots of herbs that we've been growing with Avani over the years that you recommend to grow for just to help people. And so we make salves and teas and tinctures. We made a milky oat tincture, but it has alcohol in it, so we didn't use it for here. I'll stop talking.
Farm Family Day is a collaboration among Natural Highs, Light Root Farm and Learning Center, and the City of Boulder's Open Space and Mountain Parks. To learn more about future opportunities, visit naturalhighs.org, lightrootfarm.org, or the volunteer and service learning pages at bouldercolorado.gov. Special thanks to all those who gave me permission to record their voices. You have been listening to A Public Affair. I am Rosanna Longo. Stay tuned for more programming here on KGNU, your community radio station.